Chapter 8 Land of Winter.
"Aye, she's got first sight, sure enough," said William's voice behind Tiffany, as she stared into the world of the Queen. "She's seeing what's really there."
Snow stretched away under a sky so dirty white that Tiffany might have been standing inside a ping-pong ball. Only black trunks and scribbly branches of the trees here and there told her where the land stopped and the sky began. Those, and of course the hoof-prints. They stretched away towards a forest of black trees, bowed with snow. The cold was like little needles all over her skin. She looked down and saw the Knack MacFeagles pouring through the gate, waist-deep in the snow. They spread out without speaking. Some of them had drawn their swords. They weren't laughing and joking now. They were watchful.
"Right, then," said Rob Anybody. "Well done. You wait here for us, and we'll get your wee brother back. Nay problemo."
"I'm coming too," snapped Tiffany.
"Nay, the Calder Disney—"
"This one diz," said Tiffany, shivering.
"I mean does. He's my brother, and where are we?"
Rob Anybody glanced up at the pale sky. There was no sun anywhere.
"You're here noo," he said, "so maybe there's nae harm in telling you. This is what you call Fairyland."
"Fairyland? No, it's not. I've seen pictures. Fairyland is all trees and flowers and sunshine and tinkliness. Dumpy little babies in romper suits with horns. People with wings. And weird people. I've seen pictures."
"It isn't always like this," said Rob Anybody shortly. "And you canny come with us because you ha' nae weapon, mistress."
"What happened to my frying pan?" said Tiffany.
Something bumped against her heels. She looked around and saw, not as big as medium-sized Jock, but bigger than wee Jock-Jock, hold up the pan triumphantly.
"Okay, you have the pan," said Rob Anybody. "But what you need here is a sword of thunderbolt iron. That's like the, you know, official weapon for invading Fairyland."
"I know how to use the pan," said Tiffany, "and I'm—"
"Incoming!"
yelled Daft Woolly. Tiffany saw a line of black dots in the distance and felt someone climb up her back and stand on her head.
"It's the black dogs,"
not as big as medium-sized Jock, but bigger than wee Jock-Jock announced.
"Dozens of them, big man."
"We'll never outrun the dogs," Tiffany cried, grabbing her pan.
"Dinny need to," said Rob Anybody. "We got the Gonagall wee us this time. You might like to stick your fingers in your ears, though."
William, with his eyes fixed on the approaching pack, was unscrewing some of the pipes from the mouse pipes and putting them in a bag he carried hanging from his shoulder. The dogs were much closer now. Tiffany could see the razor teeth and the burning eyes. Slowly, William took out some of the much shorter, smaller pipes that had a silvery look to them, and screwed them in place. He had the look of someone who wasn't going to rush. Tiffany gripped the handle of her pan. The dogs weren't barking. It would have been slightly less scary if they were. William swung the mouse pipes under his arm and blew into one till the bag bulged.
"I shall play," he announced, as the dogs got close enough for Tiffany to see the drool, "that firm favourite, the King Underwater."
As one pixie, the Knack MacFeagles dropped their swords and put their hands over their ears. William put the mouthpiece to his lips, tapped his foot once or twice, and, as a dog gathered itself to leap at Tiffany, began to play. A lot of things happened at more or less the same time. All Tiffany's teeth started to buzz. The pan vibrated in her hands and dropped onto the snow. The dog in front of her went cross-eyed and, instead of leaping, tumbled forward. The grim hounds paid no attention to the pixies. They howled, they spun around, they tried to bite their own tails. They stumbled and ran into one another. The line of panting death broke into dozens of desperate animals, twisting and writhing and trying to escape from their own skins. The snow was melting in a circle around William, whose cheeks were red with effort. Steam was rising. He took the pipe from his mouth. The grim hounds, struggling in the slush, raised their heads, and then, as one dog, they put their tails between their legs and ran like greyhounds back across the snow.
"Weel, they ken we're here noo," said Rob Anybody,
wiping tears from his eyes.
"Oh, agond,"
said Tiffany, touching her teeth to check that they were all still there.
"He played the notes of pain," Rob Anybody explained. "You canny hear them, 'cause they're pitched so high, but the doggies can. Hurts them in their heeds. Now we'd better get moving before she sends something else."
"The Queen sent them, but they're like something out of nightmares," said Tiffany.
"Oh, aye," said Rob Anybody. "That's where she got them."
Tiffany looked at William the Gonagall. He was calmly replacing the pipes. He saw her staring at him, looked up and winked.
"The Nac MacFeagle took music very seriously," he said.
Then he nodded at the snow near Tiffany's foot. There was a sugary yellow teddy bear in the snow, made of 100% artificial additives. And the snow all around Tiffany was melting away. Two pixies carried Tiffany easily. She skimmed across the snow, the clan running beside her. No sun in the sky. Even on the dullest days you could generally see where the sun was, but not here. And there was something else that was strange, something she couldn't quite give a name to. This didn't feel like a real place. She didn't know why she felt that, but something was wrong with the horizon. It looked close enough to touch, which was silly. And things were not finished. Like the trees in the forest they were heading towards, for example. A tree is a tree, she thought. Close up or far away, it's a tree. It has bark and branches and roots. And you know they're there, even if the tree is so far away it's a blob. The trees here, though, were different. She had a strong feeling that they were blobs, and were growing the roots and twigs and other details as she got closer, as if they were thinking, "Oh, quick, someone's coming, look real." It was like being in a painting where the artist hadn't bothered much with the things in the distance, but had quickly rushed a bit of realness anywhere you were looking. The air was cold and dead, like the air in old cellars. The lights grew dimmer as they reached the forest. In between the trees it became blue and eerie. No birds, she thought. Stop, she said. The pixies lowered her to the ground, but Rob Anybody said, "We shouldn't hang around here too long. Heads up, lads!" Tiffany lifted out the toad. It blinked at the snow. "Oh, Shope," it muttered. "This is not good. I should be hibernating." "Why is everything so strange?" "Can't help you there," said the toad. "I just see snow. I just see ice. I just see freezing to death. I'm listening to my inner toad here. It's not that cold?" "Feels cold to me." The toad shut its eyes. Tiffany sighed and lowered it into her pocket. "I'll tell you where you are," said Rob Anybody, his eyes still scanning the blue shadows. "You ken them wee bitty bugs that clings on to the sheeps and sucks themselves full of blood and then drop off again. This whole world is like one of them."
"You mean like a tick, a parasite, a vampire?"
"Why? It floats around until it finds a place that's weak on a world where no one's paying attention and opens a door. Then the queen sends in her folk. For the stealing, you ken, raiding of barns, rustling of cattle." "We used to like stealing the coo beasties," said Dart Woolly.
"Woolly," said Rob Anybody, pointing his sword. "You ken, I said there was times you should think before opening your big fat gob."
"Aye, Rob."
"Weel, that was one of them times."
Rob turned and looked up at Tiffany rather bashfully.
"Aye, we was wild champion robbers for the queen," he said. "People wouldna e'en go a-hunting for fear of little men, but 'twas ne'er enough for her. She always wanted more. But we said it's no right to steal an old lady's only pig, or the food from them as dinny ha' enough to eat. A feagle has nae worries about stealing a golden cup from a rich big job, ye ken, but tucking away the—"
Cup an old man kept his false teeth in made them feel ashamed, they said. The Nac MacFeagle would fight and steal, certainly, but who wanted to fight the weak and steal from the poor? Tiffany listened at the end of the shadowy wood, to the story of a little world where nothing grew, where no sun shone, and where everything had to come from somewhere else. It was a world that took and gave nothing back except fear. It raided, and people learned to stay in bed whenever they heard strange noises at night, because if anyone gave her trouble, the queen would control their dreams. Tiffany couldn't quite pick up how she did this, but that's where things like the Grimhounds and the Headless Horseman came from. These dreams were more real. The queen could take dreams and make them more solid. You could step inside them and vanish, and you didn't wake up before the monsters caught up with you. The queen's people wouldn't just take food. They'd take people, too.
"Like pipers," said William the Gonagall. "Fairies can't make music, you ken. She'll steal a man awa for the music he makes."
"And she takes children," said Tiffany.
"'Aye, wee brother's not the first,' said Rob Anybody. "'There's no a lot of fun and laughter here, she again. She thinks she's good with children.'
"'The old Kelder said she wouldn't harm him,' said Tiffany. "'That's true, isn't it?'
"'You could read the Knack Mac Feagle like a book. "'And it would be a big, simple book, "'with pictures of Spot the dog and a big red ball "'and one or two short sentences on each page.' What they were thinking turned up right there on their faces, and now they were all wearing a look that said, "'Crivens, I hope she Disney ask us the question we didn't want to answer.'
"'That is true, isn't it?' she said.
"'Oh, aye,' said Rob Anybody slowly. "'She didn't lie to you there. The Queen'll try and be kind to him, but she Disney know how. She's an elf. They're no very good at thinking of other people.'
"'What will happen to him if we don't get him back?'
Again there was that we dinna like the way this is going look.
"'I said,' Tiffany repeated, "'I dare say she'll send him back in due time,' said William, "'and he will nae be any older. Nothing grows old here. Nothing grows. Nothing at all.'
"'So he'll be all right?' Rob Anybody made a noise in his throat. It sounded like a voice that was trying to say "I," but was being argued with by a brain that knew the answer was no.
"'Tell me what you're not telling me,' said Tiffany. Daft Woolly was the first to speak.
"'That's a lot of stuff,' he said. "'For example, the melting point of lead is—'
"'Time passes slower the deeper you go into this place,' said Rob Anybody quickly. "'Years pass like days. The Queen'll get tired of the wee lad after a couple of months, maybe.' A couple of months here, you ken, where the time is slow and heavy. But when he comes back into the mortal world, you'll be an old lady, or maybe you'll be deed. So if yes has bairns of your own, you'd better tell them to watch out for a wee sticky kid wandering the hills shouting for sweeties, cause that'll be their Uncle Wentworth. That wouldna be the worst of it, neither. Live in dreams for too long, and you go mad. You can never wake up properly. You can never get the hang of reality again.
Tiffany stared at him.
"'It's happened before,' said William.
"'I will get him back,' said Tiffany quietly.
"'We don't doubt it,' said Rob Anybody. "'And wherever you go, we'll come with you. The Knack Mac Feagle are afear of nothing.'
A cheer went up, but it seemed to Tiffany that the blue shadows sucked all the sound away.
"'Aye, nothing except in lawyers and—'
Daft Woolies tried to say, before Rob managed to shut him up. Tiffany turned back to the line of hoofprints and began to walk. The snow squeaked unpleasantly underfoot. She went a little way, watching the trees get realer as she approached them, and then looked around. All the Knack Mac Feagles were creeping along behind her. Rob Anybody gave her a cheery nod. And all her footprints had become holes in the snow, with grass showing through. The trees began to annoy her. The way things changed was more frightening than any monster. You could hit a monster, but you couldn't hit a forest, and she wanted to hit something. She stopped and scraped some snow away from the base of a tree, and just for a moment there was nothing but greyness where it had been. As she watched, the bark grew down to where the snow was. Then it just stayed there, pretending it had been there all the time. It was a lot more worrying than the Grimhounds. They were just monsters. They could be beaten. This was frightening. She was second thinking again. She felt the fear grow. She felt her stomach become a red-hot lump. She felt her elbows begin to sweat. But it was not connected. She watched herself being frightened, and that meant that there was still this part of herself, the watching part, that wasn't. The trouble was, it was being carried on legs that were. It had to be very careful. And that was where it went wrong. Fear gripped her all at once. She was in a strange world with monsters being followed by hundreds of little blue thieves and black dogs, headless horsemen, monsters in the river, sheep whizzing backwards across fields, voices under the bed. The terror took her, but because she was Tiffany, she ran towards it, raising the pan. She had to get through the forest, find the Queen, get her brother, leave this place. Somewhere behind her, voices started to shout. She woke up. There was no snow, but there was the whiteness of the bedsheet and the plaster ceiling of her bedroom. She stared at it for a while, and then leaned down and peered under the bed. There was nothing there but the gazunder. When she flung open the door of the doll's house, there was no one inside but the two toy soldiers and the teddy bear and the headless dolly. The walls were solid. The floor creaked like it always did. Her slippers were the same as they always were, old, comfortable, and with all the pink fluff worn off. She stood in the middle of the floor and said very quietly, "Is there anybody there?" Sheep baaed on the distant hillside, but they probably hadn't heard her. The door squeaked open, and the cat Ratbag came in. He rubbed up against her legs, purring like a distant thunderstorm, and then went and curled up on her bed. Tiffany got dressed thoughtfully, daring the room to do something strange. When she got downstairs, breakfast was cooking. Her mother was busy at the sink. Tiffany darted out through the scullery and into the dairy. She scrambled on hands and knees around the floor, peering under the sink and behind cupboards. "You can come out now, honestly," she said. No one came. She was alone in the room. She'd often been alone in the room, and had enjoyed it. It was almost her private territory, but now, somehow, it was too empty. Too clean. When she wandered back into the kitchen, her mother was still standing by the sink, washing dishes, but a plate of steaming porridge had been put down in the one set place on the table. "I'll make some more butter today," said Tiffany, carefully sitting down. "I might as well, while we're getting all this milk." Her mother nodded, and put a plate on the draining board beside the sink. "I haven't done anything wrong, have I?" said Tiffany. Her mother shook her head. Tiffany sighed. And then she woke up, and it was all a dream. It was just about the worst ending you could have to any story. But it had all seemed so real. She could remember the smoky smell in the Pixie's cave, and the way... Who was it? Oh, yes, he'd been called Rob Anybody. The way Rob Anybody had always been so nervous about talking to her. It was strange, she thought, that Ratbag had rubbed up against her. He'd sleep on her bed if he could get away with it, but during the day he kept well out of Tiffany's way. How odd. There was a rattling noise near the mantelpiece. The china shepherdess on Granny's shelf was moving sideways of its own accord, and as Tiffany watched with her porridge spoon halfway to her mouth, it slid off and smashed on the floor. The rattling went on. Now it was coming from the big oven. She could see the door actually shaking on the hinges. She turned to her mother and saw her put another plate down by the sink. But it wasn't being held in her hand. The oven door burst open and slid across the floor. "Dinny eat the porridge!" Knack MacFeagles spilled out into the room, hundreds of them pouring across the tiles. The walls were shifting, the floor moved, and now the thing turning around at the sink was not even human, but just... stuff. No more human than a gingerbread man, grey as old dough changing shape as it lumbered towards Tiffany. The Pixies surged past her in a flurry of snow. She looked up at the thing's tiny black eyes. The scream came from somewhere deep inside. There was no second thought, no first thought, just a scream. It seemed to spread out as it left Tiffany's mouth until it became a black tunnel in front of her, and as she fell into it, she heard, in the commotion behind her, "Who do you think you're looking at, pal? Clivens, but you're going to get such a kicking!" Tiffany opened her eyes. She was lying on damp ground in the snowy, gloomy wood. Pixies were watching her carefully, but, she saw, there were others behind them staring outwards, into the gloom amongst the tree trunks. There was stuff in the trees, lumps of stuff. It was grey and hung there like old cloth. She turned her head and saw William standing beside her, looking at her with concern. "That was a dream, wasn't it?" she said. "Weel, no," said William. "It was, and there again it wasn't." Tiffany sat up suddenly, causing the Pixies to leap back. "But that thing was in it, and then you all came out of the oven," she said. "You were in my dream. What was that creature?" William the Gonagall stared at her as if trying to make up his mind. "That was what we call a drome," he said. "Nothing here really belongs here, remember. Everything is a reflection from outside, or something kidnapped from another world, or maybe something the Queen has made out of magic. It was hiding in the trees, and you were going so fast you didn't see it. You can spiders."
"Of course."
"Well, spiders spin webs. Drones spin dreams.
It's easy in this place. The world you come from is nearly real. This place is nearly unreal, so it's almost a dream anywhere. And the dream makes a dream for you. We are trapped in it. If you eat anything in the dream, you'll never want to leave it.
He looked as though Tiffany should have been impressed. What's in it for the dream? She asked.
It likes watching dreams. It has fun watching you have fun. And it'll watch you eating dream food until you starve to death. Then the dream will eat you. Not right away, of course. It'll wait until you've gone a wee bit runny, because it has no teeth.
So how can anyone get out?
The best way is to find the dream, said Rob Anybody. It'll be in the dream with you, in disguise. Then you just give it a good kicking.
By kicking, you mean
chopping its head off generally works.
Now, Tiffany thought, I am impressed. I wish I wasn't.
And this is Fairyland, she said.
"Aye, you could say it's the bit the tourists dinna see," said William. "And you did well. You were fighting it. You knew it wasna right."
Tiffany remembered the friendly cat and the falling shepherdess. She'd been trying to send messages to herself. She should have listened. "Thank you for coming after me," she said meekly. "How did you do it?"
"Ach, we can generally find a way into anywhere, even a dream," said William, smiling. "We are a stealing folk, after all."
A piece of the drome fell out of the tree and flopped onto the snow. "One of them won't get me again," said Tiffany.
"Aye, I believe you. You have murder in your eyes," said William, with a touch of admiration. "If I was a drome, I'd be pretty fearful now, if I had a brain. There'd be more of them, mark you, and some of them are cunning. The Queen uses them as guards."
"I won't be fooled." Tiffany remembered the horror of the moment when the thing had lumbered around, changing shape. It was worse because it was in her house, her place. She'd felt real terror as the big shapeless thing crashed across the kitchen, but the anger had been there too. It was invading her place. The thing wasn't just trying to kill her, it was insulting her. William was watching her.
"Aye, you're looking mighty fierce," he said. "You must love your wee brother to face all these monsters for him."
And Tiffany couldn't stop her thoughts. "I don't love him. Why, no, I don't. He's just so sticky and can't keep up, and I have to spend too much time looking after him, and he's always screaming for things. I can't talk to him. He just wants all the time." But her second thinking said, "He's mine. My place, my home, my brother. How dare anything touch what's mine?" She'd been brought up not to be selfish. She knew she wasn't, not in the way people meant. She tried to think of other people. She never took the last slice of bread. This was a different feeling. She wasn't being brave or noble or kind. She was doing this because it had to be done, because there was no way that she could not do it. She thought of Granny Aching's light, weaving slowly across the downs on freezing, sparkly nights, or in storms like a raging war, saving lambs from the freezing frost or rams from the precipice. She froze and struggled and tramped through the night for idiot sheep that never said thank you and would probably be just as stupid tomorrow and get into the same trouble again. And she did it because not doing it was unthinkable. There had been the time when they met the peddler and the donkey in the lane. It was a small donkey, and could hardly be seen under the pack he'd piled on it, and he was thrashing it because it had fallen over. Tiffany had cried to see that, and Granny had looked at her, and then said something to Thunder and Lightning. The peddler had stopped when he heard the growling. The sheepdogs had taken up position on either side of the man, so that he couldn't quite see them both at once. He'd raised his stick as if to hit Lightning, and Thunder's growl grew louder.
"I'd advise you not to do that," said Granny.
He wasn't a stupid man. The eyes of the dogs were like steel balls. He lowered his arm.
"Now throw down the stick," said Granny.
The man did so, dropping it into the dust as though it had suddenly grown red-hot. Granny Aching walked forward and picked it up. Tiffany remembered that it was a willow twig, long and whippy. Suddenly, so fast that her hand was a blur, Granny sliced it across the man's face twice, leaving two long red marks. He He began to move, and some desperate thought must have saved him, because now the dogs were almost frantic for the command to leap.
"Hurts, don't it?" said Granny pleasantly. "Now, I knows who you are, and I reckon you knows who I am. You sell pots and pans, and they ain't bad, as I recall. But if I put out the word, you'll have no business in my hills. Be told. Better to feed your beast than whip it. You hear me?"
With his eyes shut and his hands shaking, the man nodded.
"That'll do," said Granny, aching.
And instantly the dogs became once more two ordinary sheepdogs who came and sat either side of her with their tongues hanging out. Tiffany watched the man unpack some of the load and strap it to his own back, and then with great care urge the donkey on along the road. Granny watched him go while filling her pipe with Jolly Sailor. Then as she lit it she said, as if the thought had just occurred to her,
"Them as can do has to do for them as can't, and someone has to speak up for them as has no voices."
Tiffany thought, is this what being a witch is? It wasn't what I expected. When do the good bits happen? She stood up.
Let's keep going, she said.
Aren't you tired? Said Rob.
We're going to keep going.
Aye. Well, she's probably heading for her plass beyond the wood. If we dinny carry her, it'll take about a couple of hours.
I'll walk.
The memory of the huge dead face of the drome was trying to come back into her mind, but fury gave it no space.
Where's the frying pan? Thank you. Let's go.
She set off through the strange trees. The hoofprints almost glowed in the gloom. Here and there other tracks crossed them, tracks that could have been birds' feet, rough, round footprints that could have been made by anything, squiggly lines that a snake might make, if there were such things as snow snakes. The Pictses were running in line with her on either side. Even with the edge of the fury dying away, it was hard looking at things here without her head aching. Things that seemed far off got closer too quickly. Trees changed shape as she passed them.
Almost unreal, William had said. Nearly a dream.
The world didn't have enough reality in it for distances and shapes to work properly. Once again the magic artist was painting madly. If she looked hard at a tree, it changed and became more tree-like and less like something drawn by Wentworth with his eyes shut. This is a made-up world, Tiffany thought, almost like a story. The trees don't have to be very detailed, because who looks at trees in a story? She stopped in a small clearing and stared hard at a tree. It seemed to know it was being watched. It became more real. The bark roughened, and proper twigs grew on the end of the branches. The snow was melting around her feet, too, although melting was the wrong word. It was just disappearing, leaving leaves and grass. If I was a world that didn't have enough reality to go around, Tiffany thought, then snow would be quite handy. It doesn't take a lot of effort. It's just white stuff. Everything looks white and simple. But I can make it complicated. I'm more real than this place. She heard a buzzing overhead and looked up. And suddenly the air was filling with small people, smaller than the Feagle with wings like dragonflies. There was a golden glow around them. Tiffany, entranced, reached out a hand. At the same moment, what felt like the entire clan of Knack Mac Feagle landed on her back and sent her sliding into a snowdrift. When she struggled out, the clearing was a battlefield. The Pictses were jumping and slashing at the flying creatures, which were buzzing around them like wasps. As she stared, two of them dived onto Rob Anybody and lifted him off his feet by his hair. He rose in the air, yelling and struggling. Tiffany leapt up and grabbed him round the waist, flailing at the creatures with her other hand. They let go of the Pictsy and dodged easily, zipping through the air as fast as hummingbirds. One of them bit her on the finger before buzzing away. Somewhere a voice went,
"Oor!"
Rob struggled in Tiffany's grip.
"Quick! Put me down!" he yelled. "There's gonna be poetry!"